Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, again, welcome to Vision Sunday. And if you've been with us for a few weeks, we're taking a one-week pause from the series that we've been in, the Year of the Comeback. We'll get back to that this next week. But we're taking a pause this week, like we do consistently each year, to talk all about our vision of why we do what we do. Plus, I got a couple of big announcements that are coming as well that I'm so excited to share with you. Now, for the many new families, new people that we have in our church, as our church has continued to grow, many of you have never been to a Vision Sunday, and so you're probably a little bit curious of what I got to say, but also you're not kind of familiar with the rhythm, and so I want to set you up for the service today. Really, I want to share with you our heart for Vision Sundays that we have once or twice a year typically, and the reason why we do these, and I wrote it down like this. You can write this down if you're taking notes, but here's our heart today and on Vision Sundays. We want to celebrate the past. We want to be grateful for the present, but we've got to remember we are loyal to the future. I want to say that again because you got to get that in your heart, okay? Like, this is really important. Why we do days like today, we celebrate the past, we're grateful for the present, but we are loyal to the future. And really, I want to focus on that last phrase, loyal to the future. Those in person, the many of you probably noticed coming in, and neon letters, right? We had loyal to the future there in the greenery, in the lobby. Of course, we got our free long sleeve t-shirts. I hope you picked up one. We don't have enough for everybody today, so grab one. We got shirts for kids, too. Maybe you didn't catch that. Like, we got shirts for kids, and it says in real big bold letters on the back and in a circle over your heart that we are loyal to the future. And that's a phrase that you're not just going to hear today. You're going to hear that over and over again the next several months in our church. And so with that in mind, we're going to unpack that today. Why that phrase? Why loyal to the future? We're going to unpack that as we look to Scripture. And so if you got a copy of the Scripture with you, Bible or Bible app, turn with me to Joshua chapter 4. We encourage church participation. And so if you got a Bible, turn there. Don't just leave it closed on your lap. If you got a Bible app or you can re-download or download one quickly, get to Joshua chapter 4. But of course, if you don't have a Bible in the room online, they'll be on the screen as I read these verses. Joshua chapter 4. I'm going to read starting in verse 20 and then read all the way through verse 24. And we're not just here to read the text. Remember, we want the text to read us. We want to apply it to our lives. I'm going to read out of the NIV. And this is going to be our main text. I've got another scripture we'll get to here in a little bit. But this is our main text, Joshua 4, starting in verse 20. Joshua is the sixth book in the Bible. If you're like, where is that? That's the sixth book in the Bible. And here's what it says, verse 20. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, somebody shout in the future. In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these 12 stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had already done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. Verse 24, he did this. I want you to highlight this verse if you've got the capability on an app or maybe you got a pen, you can underline, star, whatever. He did this. God did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Now, if you know Scripture, if you know the Bible, you know fearing the Lord is a good thing. Like, when you think of fear, you maybe think of that scary movie that still haunts you every once in a while. That's not biblical fear. Biblical fear is to have a holy reverence, an awe of who God is, that he is God and that we are not, that he can do anything, that he is greater than us. That's holy fear. That's fear of the Lord, which is a really, really good thing. Before we go any further, let's bow our heads and pray again together to ready our hearts. Lord, we love you so much. And God, you know I've got a big burden on my back this morning to share the vision to share what I believe you have spoken so clearly. So God, I'm excited, I'm expectant, and I just pray, God, you'd help me to properly communicate the vision. I pray, God, that you'd help us to receive, to be just kind of blank canvases before you this morning, that you could paint whatever you want to paint on our hearts. Lord, speak through me, speak because of me, and also in spite of me. Holy Spirit, say for each person exactly what you want to say. We love you so much, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This message, I got to tell you, this message and what I got to share today and this passage, like, it's been burning in my heart for a while now. Usually, I write the message the week of, leading up to the Sunday. That's typically how I do things, but this message I wrote a little bit earlier, and so I've rewrote it a whole bunch of times, and I've gone through it and prayed through it and fasted. I'm telling you, like, it's burning. I am so excited, and so if it's okay with you, I want to preach it like I feel it. Can I do that? I want to preach it like I feel it, and I hope you'll participate. Like I know that we got so many different people that are brand new, so many different people that, like, you're from a more traditional church background, and for anybody to talk is, like, a weird thing, you know? And I know we got lots of people that you're from no church background at all. So I get that. But maybe you never thought about this before, but really what we're trying to do each Sunday at Christ Covenant is we're trying to, in our services, in worship, in the message, we're trying to bring a little heaven on down to earth. And here's what I mean by that. Again, you probably never thought about this, but I think it will help you, especially if you're not used to kind of the preaching back kind of deal and the culture we're trying to create. The Bible says this, that like, there's going to be a lot of activity in heaven, like a lot. In fact, there's going to be thousands, and it's happening even now, thousands upon thousands of angels proclaiming, every second, proclaiming who God is. Not only that, but there's already millions of people up there in heaven that are worshiping Jesus, and every time that somebody gets saved, the Bible says that there's a party, there's a celebration. Why are you saying this? I'm just trying to let you, like, be on alert that like, heaven's gonna be loud. And so get used to it, all right? I wonder sometimes if people are going to really like heaven, because it's not going to be quiet and just concerned. It's going to be a party. It's going to be loud. It's going to be awesome. So maybe you come from a background you're not used to it. Get used to it. I'm just trying to prepare you for heaven, all right? And so get ready, participate. We'll have more fun that way. It keeps us engaged. And I'm going to give you some good things to shout about and praise God about, because God is really doing a great work. Let's bring not just Vision Sunday, but every Sunday, let's bring a little piece of heaven down to earth. Now, if you got your Bible and you turn with me to Joshua 4, keep it open throughout the whole service. Like, you don't shut it at the end. We're going to go back to it time and time again. And again, if you don't have it, then we'll help you out on the screen. But Joshua 4, there's so much going on in this passage. And some of you know the context, but many people don't know the context. So I'm going to catch you up light speed. Really, I want you to know what's happened right before Joshua chapter 4. You see, God's people, the Israelites, they have just gone through a leadership transition. They had Moses, and now they've got Joshua. In our context, it would be like a new pastor stepping in. They've gone through a leadership transition. And Moses, you probably know the story a little bit, even if you didn't grow up in church. He had just done some incredible things. He led them out, God's people, out of slavery in Egypt. And this is the Bible story with the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. Again, all that stuff you probably heard about. But after the Israelites are rescued from slavery, the Bible tells us that with Moses in charge, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. I preached on that several weeks back. And a whole generation, the Bible says, ended up wasting away. They were wrecked in the wilderness as they stopped following God. But then Joshua comes on the scene. Joshua is the next man up. He's the new leader. He's the one commissioned by God to actually take God's people, not just out of slavery, but into the promised land, out of the wilderness and into the promised land. But it's not easy. As Joshua steps up, next man up, there's a lot, and if you know the scriptures, you know, there's a lot of opposition standing between them and the promise. And that will preach right there. Because when you follow God, it's not easy. There's opposition. There's obstacles in front of you. And one huge obstacle, it's literal. It is the Jordan River that is now in front of them and keeping them out of the promised land that God has for them. So God tells Joshua, the new leader, and this is so cool, as we're all right before chapter 4, God tells Joshua, take the Ark of the Covenant, what you saw in Indiana Jones, the third one in The Last Crusade, right? Like, take the Ark of the Covenant, carry it, have the priests, the pastors, have them carry it, and walk towards the Jordan River. This is awesome. And as they walk towards the Jordan River, the Bible says that when their toes got to the edge of the water, pastors carrying the Ark, the waters began to part supernaturally. It's incredible. Literally, God puts up an invisible dam to separate the waters. The pastors, the priests, with the Ark on their shoulder, they walk to the middle of the Jordan River that is now dry ground. And the people of God, as they stand in the middle, the people of God walk on by on dry land to the other side of the river. Isn't that awesome? So cool. And what happens as the priests are still there and all the people get on by, God tells Joshua that you need to take 12 huge stones from that dry riverbed in the middle, and before the priests leave the Jordan River, you need to take those 12 stones, bring them out of the riverbed, and begin to stack them up one on top of one another, 12 for the 12 tribes of Israel, and you are to do this as a sign. And the Bible says they gather the 12 stones, the priests carry the Ark out of the river, and instantly the water goes right back to how it was. An incredible miracle that God does. And Joshua gives the people two reasons why they were to do this. Two reasons we're going to talk about today. Two reasons of why they gathered those 12 stones and they stacked them one on top of one another, and they're going to help us even thousands of years later because God's going to use them to speak to us. Two reasons why God did the miracle and two reasons why they gathered these 12 river stones. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is so important. The first reason that God had them do this, number one, was for evangelism. Evangelism. So the world would know. You see this in verse 24, the last verse we read together. God says, hey, I'm doing this miracle. You're going to gather these stones for evangelism so the world would know. You see, Joshua teaches the people of God that when God, and you got to get this, that when God does the supernatural, it's not just for the people he does the miracle with. It's also that other people would know who God is and what he can do. It's twofold. When God heals somebody, you need to know this. Yes, it's for that person, but it's also for other people that they would come to know who God is and that he is all powerful. Go on a hunt in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and almost every single time, if not every single time, that God did a miracle, God did something supernatural, you'll read almost right after that people got saved. That people saw the hand of God. They saw how good God is, how powerful God is. That miracles led people to salvation, to know that God is who he says he is, and he can do what no one else can do. And friend, God is still doing that today. That when he does a miracle in the church, when he does a miracle in the world, it's not just so we could say, oh, there's something special about us. It's so that the world would know that it's not about the news. It's not about culture. It's definitely not about some politician. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one who does the supernatural. I know you love your politician, but he ain't Jesus. He's not. And any time that God performs a miracle, he wants the world to take notice so more people, catch this, can be welcomed into the family of God. And if you know Scripture well, you know this. Old Testament, New Testament, cover to cover, the mission of God has never changed, and it's always to grow his family. is that more people would come to know him. The mission of God for his church, for Christ's covenant, for every church, is that we would constantly be reaching the lost to bring more people into the family of God. And this is why our vision at the church, by the way, every year is heaven full and hell empty. That never changes. We keep talking about it. Why do you talk about it all the time? Because we can forget. We can forget why we do what we do. It's easy to forget your why, so we talk about it constantly. I just need to remind somebody, this church, as long as I'm the pastor, and I hope that's a very, very, very long time, this church is not some country club for the saints. This is a hospital for the brokenhearted. And if you don't like that, you're at the wrong church. Like, I'm just telling you, we are called to reach people. Like, when do we stop? When we're dead or Jesus comes back. That's when we can stop. We've got to reach people for Jesus. And so our vision never changes, but we got to be reminded of it. And so God, when it comes to his people, the Israelites, back in Joshua's day, but also here in 2021, when God moves amongst a people, when God does something supernatural in a people, he also wants to work through that people. It's not just for us. It's not so we can say, hey, look at us, how awesome we are. No, no, no. It's look at Jesus and how awesome he is. And I got to tell you, what God is doing at Christ's Covenant, it is not normal. It is supernatural. It really is. And I know some of us, this is all we see. But trust me, if you talk to pastors all around the country, and I've talked to many of them, big church, medium, small, everywhere in between, a lot of churches have actually decreased during the last couple of years because of all the COVID stuff and all the political mess and everything that's happening in our world. But I'm telling you, you can see it. It ain't happening here. We're actually, I mean, ridiculous. We are growing in a pandemic. Like, when does that ever happen? To give you an idea of what's happening in a lot of churches, and it really breaks my heart because it doesn't need to be happening, but what's happened in a lot of churches, I heard this recently, I heard that, and this is just so sobering, I heard that almost 45% of people that were attending church services before the pandemic have not yet come back after the pandemic. It's not happening here, but it's happening in almost every single church. The people, and it's not just in person, but also online. The people that we're attending or not, that's a huge number. Well, Pastor, that's kind of negative. Why are we talking about? I just want you to see and not take for granted what God is doing in our midst. And I wish one of us could take credit, but we can't take credit. None of us are smart enough. None of us are good enough. It's the grace of God. What does Jesus say? We preached on this a while back, and this is what we do series. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. It's not your church. It's not my church. He'll build it whether we're here or not. That's just the reality. If it's his church, he's going to build it, and it is his church, and he is building it. To God alone be the glory. I was even looking back at our first Vision Sunday. I've been here almost 4 years in November. And our first Vision Sunday that I did pretty quickly after being here, I looked back at my notes, and it just blows my mind what God's done. Because when you're in it, it's hard to see it sometimes, right? It's like when you're around your kids all the time, you don't see how much they're growing until you have that grandparent that doesn't see them very much say, wow, you've gotten so big, and pinch their cheeks, you know, all that kind of stuff. And like, oh, you're so big now. And like, because you don't see it, right, whenever you're there. But what's incredible, look back at the first Vision Sunday that we had here, and I shared, it was in my notes, that just a little bit before 4 years ago, it'd be normal on a Sunday to have 40 people in attendance, like the whole church. And now on a normal Sunday, we're over 200 people in our services. Isn't that crazy? It's like crazy. It's in person, online, both our services together. It's just crazy what God's doing. It's a miracle. And again, it's not, hey, look at us. It's, hey, look at Jesus. And we got to keep this in our heart. It's all about reaching people for Jesus. And I want to celebrate together for a moment. I want to talk more about the future, but again, we do want to celebrate what God's done in the past, and I hope that you'll give God some praise and some glory. Don't save your best praise for the Texans at 12 noon today. That they got a good chance to beat the Jaguars. Let's be honest, that may be their only win this year. They do play the Jaguars twice, but still, like just being honest. But I know they got a good chance today, but let's not give them our best shout of praise. Let's give God our best shout. But this is just awesome. In our services, so on this campus, and it needs to happen other places than it is, but on this campus, in less than 4 years, we've had 500 people give their life to Jesus. It's awesome. It's awesome. Praise God for that. That's what it's all about. Evangelism, that we would reach the lost. And I love this. You're going to love this too. I love this next one. And I didn't even realize this, but I added the years together. I knew it was happening each year, but I had not looked in the context of getting close to 4 years. But this is just awesome. I want to give God glory, and I know you will as well. But in less than 4 years, we've been able to give over $100,000 to missions. Come on, you better give God a better praise than that. That is awesome. I don't care what size the church is. That's incredible. That is just awesome. Once I got to that number, I stopped counting. It was even a little bit more than that. Like, it's just awesome. And so that stuff happened in our city, in our nation, in the world. When we have disasters like what happens with Ida and what's happened in Haiti again, all that kind of stuff, Afghanistan, we support missionaries like Convoy of Hope. You should look them up. They're boots on the ground, like one of the first people that goes out, and they give food and all kinds of supplies and help. I'm telling you, like, it's incredible what God is doing in us. But remember, he also wants to work through us. It's in us and through us so people would see Jesus. Their miracle is not just for us. It's not just so you can leave in a few moments feeling better about yourself. No, no, no. God wants to work in us and through us to touch the world so that the world would know who Jesus is, that he is the answer today and every day. God is working in us and through us so the world would know. Joshua 4, I hope you still got it open. Joshua gives the second reason in this passage of why they gathered 12 stones. And really, this is going to be a big focus today. The second reason why God performed the miracle, why they gathered the 12 stones, we see next, number two, I hope you'll write this down, for discipleship, so the next generation would continue. This is burning so strongly on my heart. Discipleship, so the next generation would continue. Joshua declares that when future generations ask, we read this, so powerful. He declares that when future generations ask, why did you stack up those 12 stones? Like, why did you do that? Why is that there at the edge of the river? Joshua declares that you would tell them who God is and how he came through, that they would pass down their faith to the next generation, that they would pass down that Jesus is the answer, that he is the first and the last, that he is the one that we all need, that he is the only way to salvation. And I got to tell you, Christ Covenant, this has to always be a priority for us too, that we would pass down our faith to the next generation. Like, you need to know that somewhere around 85% of people that make decisions for Jesus do so before the age of 18. That's a big deal. That's a big number. Why is that, Pastor? It's because that's when we start to build our foundation in our life. That's when you realize who God has called you to be and what God has done. That's when you decide on your own, especially getting closer to 18. Am I going to have my own faith, or am I just going to follow after my mom and dad's kind of faith? Am I going to live this way, or am I going to live that way? Is Jesus really the only answer, or is any God the really answer? Those are the foundational years. It's a big number. We've got to pass down what we believe, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that he is the answer for everything that's going on. We've got to pass it on down. I'll say it to you this way. The next generation, whether you have children or not, the next generation is counting on us to tell them about Jesus. Like, what God's doing cannot and should not end with us. Yes, we celebrate the past, and yes, we're grateful for the present, but hear me loud and clear, Christ Covenant, we are loyal to the future. And here's where it got real personal and real heavy for me, and I'm praying that that burden will be transposed onto you as well. But in the next book in the Bible, and I want you to write down the reference. It'll be on the screen in a moment. But don't turn there just yet. You can read it on your own later because I'm going to read it for you because I want you to stay focused. But in the next book in the Bible, which is the book of Judges, we see how Joshua's generation responded to this call to pass down your faith to the next generation. But we also see how other generations responded. This is Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. You can write that reference down. Still in the NIV. Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. Here's what it says. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. We need to get on that like Israel diet, y'all. 110, wow. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Verse 10, this is what I want you to focus on. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, after they died, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done in Israel. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. A whole generation grew up. What are we seeing in our nation right now? A whole generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. You see, Joshua and his generation, they were faithful to pass on who God is. But as we read in Judges, that didn't always happen. And so Judges, and it hit me hard. Judges is a warning to us, Christ Covenant. Our kids and our grandkids and the children in this city, they are counting on us. The next generation is counting on us. I feel this so heavy. I think you can even sense it on me right now. I know I can feel it. We have a responsibility. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It's our responsibility to tell the next generation about Jesus. As I said earlier, they're not going to hear it from culture. They're not going to hear it from the news. Can I tell you, they're not going to learn it by osmosis, okay? Somebody's got to tell them, and that somebody is us. With all this in our hearts, that leads me to some big announcements. The next steps that we're going to take as a church to better reach and equip the next generation. As you've already heard today, God is growing the church. And that's especially, I mean, it's felt in here, but that's especially felt in our children's classrooms. And if you got young kids, like my wife and I, we got three of them. And by the way, side note, it's kind of funny, like, a lot of our new families have three kids. Like, I don't know if there was something in the water or what's going on. Like, y'all blame me for it because we got three kids too. But it's felt. And in our next service, the 11 a.m., on most Sundays, it's a normal Sunday, we try to pack 15 to 20 elementary students in a small classroom plus volunteers. And of course, that's multiplied in every classroom. On a special Sunday, like we'll have one coming up in the fall here, and Christmas, Easter, all those sorts of things. And again, if you got young kids like my wife and I, you know, that's not new information. You see that, it's clear. And so behind the scenes for a while now, Pastor Anissa, our children's pastor, she's been working hard. Her volunteer team is just incredible. Yeah, you can give it up for them. So our kids volunteers already know this, but this is not the biggest announcement, but it's still a big announcement. But next Sunday, so this Sunday is September the 12th, next Sunday, September the 19th, we're going to launch kids ministry in both services, so including this service right here, which is going to be awesome. This is going to be amazing. This is going to help spread out some of that growth in the children's ministry classrooms. But here's the reality. Y'all know those classrooms aren't big, and it's going to help in the short term, but it's definitely not a long-term solution. We don't think it will take long. We don't believe it will take long to fill up that service too in our kids' ministry. Now, with all that said, I feel like I've heard from the Lord, and the miracle is in the house. There's a solution right above us. Like, what is above us right now? I'm talking about our upstairs. Many of you don't even know it. You're finding out today. We actually have an upstairs. We do. Seriously, I know many of you don't even know that. You're like, what? Yeah, we do. Starting in person, you'll be able to visualize this better than online, but starting behind our sound booth here in the back of the auditorium, going all the way back to the end of the building, we have 7,000 square feet. It's a huge space that we have upstairs that is currently not being properly utilized on a Sunday morning. And so again, I prayed about it, even going back to May, where we just started to see an outpouring, and then it continued on through the summer till today. Began to pray, God, what are we doing? What are you doing? What's next for us? And again, he said, the miracle's in the house. There's a solution right above us. And so what we're moving forward to strongly is we want to renovate and update the 7,000 square feet upstairs. That way we can move our elementary ministry upstairs to that space. And we can continue to use it on Wednesday nights for our teenagers. That's biblical excellence, by the way. Excellence is not that gold statue that no one can touch. It's not that million-dollar painting that you've got that velvet rope around it. That's not excellence. That's extravagance. Excellence is doing the very best with what you have. So we move Impact AM, which is meant to be a small group environment. We move that back to one of our classrooms, the Connect Room, which is across from the restrooms downstairs. That way we can better equip and reach the next generation. In the meantime, that will also allow us, not in the meantime, but as we make that transition, that will also allow us to have more space downstairs to continue to expand our preschool and nursery rooms, excuse me. We can divide up the ages a little bit more, and it will help us. And there's so many advantages to that. One of the big advantages for moving the elementary upstairs, and I was even thinking about this last week, right now, and if you got elementary age kids like we do, you know what I'm about to say probably. But right now, like when a kid in elementary has to use the restroom, we have to actually take them out of the room, which is not the safest thing. We have a volunteer that leads them, and we do it the best we can. We have to take them out of the room and into the adult restrooms. Well, that's not the best. Now, we have a kid's restroom in the preschool room, but not in the elementary. Well, upstairs, already installed, we have two single-stall restrooms. That way they never have to live or leave their environment. Isn't that awesome? So there's all these different advantages to moving the elementary upstairs. Now, because we have so many new people, I think it's also important that I share this because many of you don't know it. But here downstairs in this auditorium and all throughout the downstairs, a few years back, I think it was within my first year or so, we actually renovated all of this, and we updated so many things down here, but we haven't done that upstairs. And so what you're seeing today, I'll just say it didn't always look like this. You can ask somebody else. They'll tell you the story. And so what we're experiencing is incredible, and we want that for our children, don't we? We want that for the children in our city. So here's our goals, five goals that we want to accomplish in our next generation spaces. Specifically upstairs, but even a little bit downstairs. And here's the five goals. Number one, upstairs, we need to greatly upgrade the upstairs audio, video, and lighting. Like desperately. Ask our teenagers and they'll tell you, our volunteers on a Wednesday night, like, we need it. Number two, we also need new paint and new flooring upstairs. Number three, we need to update the upstairs community space. And not only is there an auditorium, but there's also an incredible community. Again, 7,000 square feet upstairs. Number four, we need to renovate the stage and stage design upstairs. And then number five, we're also excited about this, to rebrand our entire children's ministry. And that would be upstairs with our elementary, but also downstairs in our nursery and preschool. So those are the five goals that we have. And truly, all of this needs to be done. It is not a want, Christ Covenant. It is a need. I was talking to one of our elders who's been a part of this church from the very beginning, even before this building was built. And I was talking to one of our elders, and he mentioned to me that there hasn't been substantial renovation upstairs in probably around a decade. Church, it's time. It's time that we move forward. Even now, I get so excited. We shared this news with our kids last night, and we wanted them to hear it right before you heard it. And of course, we want to honor our kids in our house. And you know, there's not a lot of advantages to being a pastor's kid, but that's some of the advantages, you know. And so, like, hey, you get to hear it first. And I mean, they couldn't stop talking about it, how excited they are. It's just incredible. God is with us. Now, behind the scenes, the last several months, we've been pricing out what that would look like to update all those different areas if we can knock out all five of those goals upstairs. And behind the scenes, we priced that all out. And because of the size of the space, way larger than every single one of our homes, probably double or triple even, right? 7,000 square feet. Because of the size of the space, because of the amount of work that needs to be done, because of the big audio, video, and lighting needs, it will take around $70,000 to accomplish those five goals. And we could easily spend more than that, but that amount would really help us accomplish a lot and create an incredible environment for our children and our teenagers to learn about Jesus, grow in their faith. Now, here's what's really amazing. You're going to love this because I love this too. It's exciting. Here's what's really amazing about that amount of money. You see, God has already set us up for a miracle when it comes to that $70,000, and specifically half of it, $35,000. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. Half of it, $35,000, is already ready to be invested into the process. It's already been provided. Let me explain that further. In the last 4 years, we've made a lot of difficult decisions and changes to live beneath our means as a church. I tell people this, we are lean, mean, fighting machines, okay? Like we are, that's how I live my life. That's how my mom and dad raised me. It's how Isabel, my wife, her mom and dad raised hers. It comes natural. And myself and the elders, we've worked so hard for that. Not only that, and this happened even before I got here, and so I don't take any credit for any of it, but I wouldn't even hear for this next two, but it's awesome. We also at the church, many people don't know this, but we have zero debt as a church. Can we give God glory for that? Zero debt. It's awesome. We have no mortgage payment as a church. Don't you wish you had that for your family? Again, these are tough things that we did to be in a strong position for today. Also, one of our goals each year since I've been here, and just a goal, and we've done it the last couple of years, one of my goals coming in was to live off of 90% of what came in the previous year in tithe and offering. And we've been able to do that and also continue to grow because of what God is doing in His church. And so that's built in 10% savings that we're able to put aside for a rainy day, or, you know, we had an AC unit go out. Y'all know, even the ones in here, we just had to fix those. We had to replace a whole one, all that kind of stuff. That way I don't have to come to you and say, you know what, we couldn't pay our bill this week. And, you know, can we pass the bucket? You know, like, I don't know what that impression was, but still. I guess that's my, like, lame pastor impression. I don't know. Oh my goodness, help me, Jesus. But because of all those things, those four things, because of all of that, that's put us in a strong position that we already have $35,000 that we don't need to get a loan for, but we already have it ready to invest into the process. Isn't that awesome? That's just to God alone be the glory. So we want to raise $35,000, the other half, big step of faith to be able to accomplish all of those goals to, again, better equip and reach the next generation. It's a big step of faith. Like, it's a big step of faith for us, but God is with us. Even now I go back in my mind and I think about when I first shared this months ago with my mentor. He spoke once right before the pandemic, actually. Pastor Philip, he's the executive pastor of an incredible church in Conroe, Texas, Spirit-filled church, thousands and thousands of people every single week that they minister to, huge focus on the next generation as well. And I remember sharing this with him, and I even called him this last week, hey, this is the week that's coming up, and he prayed with me, and I'll never forget him saying, hey, Ryan, I'm so excited to see what God does in your midst. God is definitely growing the church. God is with you. It's going to be awesome to see what God does. I remember back to when I shared this with our elders and our staff for the first time, and there was just a spirit of faith in the room. Yeah, this is God. We want to move forward. I feel that today in this service. Hey, God is with us. We're going to move forward. And so here's the timeline and some more details on what we see this looking like. In fact, we've got ushers in the back. They're going to begin to hand out these brochures. You can start now, ushers. Thank you so much. We're going to make this available online, but I want every person in the room to grab one of these. So not one per family. Like, this isn't your time to, like, push back. No, we just want one for our family. Like, just humor me, okay? Even if you're a staff member, elder, spouse of a staff member or elder, like, I want every person to have one of these in your hands. And you're going to take this home with you. It's our Loyal to the Future Vision Sunday brochures. And you're going to see some more details inside of this. So you can look at it right now. You're also going to see some of that rebranding that I talked about with our elementary and our preschool and our nursery. I don't have time today, but God's already done a miracle with that. And we got all that stuff absolutely free, donated, just incredible, but just awesome. But it's got our goals in there and all the different details we've talked about with numbers and what we're trying to raise. And then on the back, and this is the part that I'd love for you to kind of put somewhere in your house this next month or so, but the back in white, it says Loyal to the Future real big, kind of like we have on the back of our shirts. But the top, it's got that offering date. And I haven't told you yet, I'm going to tell you now. So in a month from now, y'all know how I roll if you've been here. I don't try to just come to you like, hey, it's next week or hey, it's today. I'd like to give you time to pray about it, to think about it. If you have questions, reach out to me. But on Sunday, October the 10th, a month from now, we're going to take up the Loyal to the Future offering. And that's the Sunday that we're believing God above and beyond the tithe for $35,000 to come in. And I just got a faith of it. It's going to take a miracle, but thankfully God parts the Red Sea and the Jordan Sea. He does miracles. And so hold on to this, take it home, read through it. And if you want to do like me and my family have done, just take a magnet and you can put it there on your fridge. And that way it's a reminder leading up to that day. So today's Sunday, September the 12th, timeline. Vision Sunday, I'm making these big announcements. Next Sunday is when we start children's ministry, and it will continue on, not just one Sunday, but it will continue on next Sunday, September the 19th, kids ministry in both services. Then a month from now, Sunday, October the 10th, we'll have our Loyal to the Future offering. And then our goal would be, if we raise that $35,000 or even more, God willing, our goal would be that we would start the renovations and the updates upstairs right away. And the goal would be by the beginning of the new year that we'd have everything done, everything ready. We can have a grand reopening of our children's ministry and the children. Like, wouldn't that be awesome to do that? And these are just goals, you know. But we think we can accomplish them, and we know God is with us. I'm going to close today with three critical commitments, because we all get to play a part in this. You have a month to think about this, and if you're married, talk to your spouse. If you've got children, in fact, the children are going to hear about it today in their kids' classrooms and the next service. Teenagers are going to talk about it this Wednesday night. But three critical commitments I'm asking from everybody. Whether you're brand new, been around since the beginning, or like me, you've been here for a few years. Three critical commitments. Number one is, I desperately want you to pray with me. Here at the church, we pray first. Every single year, we have at least two seasons of 21 days of prayer We just finished one in August, and you know now what I was praying for, right? Praying every single day, God, help us. God, be with us. We'll have another one coming up in January. We actually pray and fast. And so I'm just asking you to pray for those that have been around since the beginning or before I even got here, a little less than 4 years ago. I'm asking you to pray. This is not your time to kind of sit back and, hey, I was a part of the other stuff. I'll let everybody know. No. You're a huge part of this, that you would pray. And would you pray for me? I need your prayer. And not just for communicating the vision like today, but just that God would give us favor as we continue in this process, that God would bring in the funds. And for those that are brand new, or maybe you've been here for a couple years like my family, I'm asking you to pray. This is your chance. Like, we're all sitting in somebody else's sacrifice. This is your chance to sacrifice and to be a part. So let's pray. Number two, I'm asking you to serve. You know, just because you have more like people doesn't mean you have more people like serving, right? And so I'm asking you to serve if you're not already serving. Here's what happens. Like, people don't serve because they're scared they're going to burn out. Or maybe because you did burn out at another church. Well, there's two reasons for burnout. The first reason is that you were serving in an area that doesn't match your gifting. So, for example, you hated kids, but they made you lead the kids ministry, you know? They're like, we just want anybody who's alive, you know, would you help us? You know, that kind of deal. Well, we don't do that here. We want to put you in an area that matches your gifting. The second reason why people burn out is because not everybody is serving. Well, you can help us with that too. And so many hands make light work. And so serve. And so you can let us know by checking a box on the connection card. Says, hey, I want to volunteer. And we'll contact you and we'll find an area. We got so many areas that you can serve in. And most people serve just once or twice a month. And with two services, you can even serve one a lot and attend one. So we got lots of options. So number one, pray. And please, I'm asking you to do these. I desperately need you to do these things. Number one, pray. Number two, serve. Then number three, give. To give. I'm asking everyone, if this is going to be your home church, to follow my lead. Y'all know this about me, even if you've only been here for a few months. I will never ask you to do something I'm not willing to do. My family and I, we lead the charge in every offering. We tithe faithfully. We did that way before we even came to this church. But we do all of that. We're going to lead the way. Our staff is going to lead the way. Our elders, our ministry leaders, like, we're going to lead the way. But I'm asking everybody to give, to invest in the next generation here at the church. If you've been around for a while, you know this. I'm not going to manipulate you. That's why I'm giving you a month to pray about it, to think about it. You can ask me questions. Go get coffee together. I'm not going to pressure you. I am asking, though, that you would pray and that whatever God asks you to give, you would give. I'll say, you don't ever hear a pastor that is. If God tells you not to give, then don't give. I'm serious. I'm asking everyone to have enough boldness to pray and say, God, what would you have me sacrifice? What would you have me give? And whatever he says, you be obedient. And if we all listen to God and do what he says, then we'll knock that number out of the park. And we'll move forward in what God has for us. We'll better reach our children and the next generation, and it's just going to be awesome. So to pray, to serve, and to give. Bow your heads with me. Jesus, thank you. God, I thank you for being with us today, and I thank you for guiding me to share what you've already shared with me. And I pray, God, over the next months that you would speak to your people as you're faithful to do, and that we would listen to you and do what you say. That's it. To listen to you and do what you say, Lord. I'm so grateful for what you've done. We celebrate the past. We're so thankful. We're so grateful for the present. But God, we know we're called to be loyal to the future. Our city, the next generation, is counting on us. Again, to go back to Judges, Lord, in your word, it's our responsibility to pass down our faith. God, continue to work in us and through us. And God, I pray for anybody in this service, in the room or online, that maybe doesn't know you. Anybody that's far from you, I pray, God, that today would be their day of salvation, that today they would bow their knee to you. Because Jesus, as I've said many times, you are the answer. You are the one true God. There is not many gods. There is one God, and you are Lord. And so, God, I pray that today in this moment, they would surrender everything. In fact, you can do that right now, friend, in the room online. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you can do that right now. You can whisper to Jesus, Jesus, I confess that you are Lord, you are God, you are real. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead 3 days later. It really happened. And I surrender my life. I ask you, it's so important that you ask him this. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sins, to clean me up, to make me new from the inside out. Thank you that my sin is not greater than you. That Jesus, you can heal me and you can set me free. And I ask you to do that now. God, thank you for those that are making that decision afresh and anew. We give you all the glory for what you're doing in your church. We love you, Jesus. And we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.